For Parshas Va'aloscha, I've entitled today's shiur, Walking with God in the Wilderness, in the Midbar. We're deep into Sefer Ba'Midbar now, in the third parsha, and I'm finding over and over again that both the challenges and sometimes the failings of the Jewish people in the Midbar, and on the flip side, the great success and the glory of the Jewish people in the Midbar, is finding, or chas v'shalom, not finding Hashem. I want to begin with the parsha of the Anani HaKavod, and that's in chapter 9 of Sefer Bamidbar, and it should be the first source on your page. So you can follow this either on the page I gave you, or alternatively in the Chumash itself. And the Anani HaKavod, which according to Chazal are 12 in number, which is very difficult because really I only count 11, but what be that as it may, they accompany the Jewish people throughout the 40 years in the Midbar. And if we're looking to find God in the Midbar, then we're going to find God in the Anani HaKavod. And the Torah describes how these Anani HaKavod would guide the Jewish people in the Midbar. And for example, if you take a look in Pasuk Yud Zayin in this perek, the Pasuk testifies that Lefi He'alos Ha'anan Me'al Ha'ohel, when the Anan would rise from the Ohel, meaning from the Mishkan, then Achrichein Yisu Bnei Yisrael, the people of Israel would know that that's the signal to travel. But when the Anan would remain static in its place, then they knew it was the time to encamp. Al pi Hashem Yisu Bnei Yisrael, v'al pi Hashem Yachnu. Kol yimei asher yishkan ha'anan al mishkan yachnu. And the Torah goes on to describe that in certain situations, Bahari Ha'anan al Mishkan Yomim Ravim, there was an extended period of time in which the Anan would remain stable in its place. And Shomrei Sos Mishras Hashem Velo Yiso. But the people of Israel were patient, they were dedicated to the will of Hashem, and they wouldn't move from the spot. But Yesh Hashayiyah Ha'anan Yomim Misfar. Sometimes it was just a few short days. And once again, when the Anan picked up and moved, the Bnei Yisrael journeyed afterwards. And not only that, the Torah says in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Yesh Hashayiyah Ha'anan Me'erev Ad Boker. Sometimes the Anan would only be from the night until the next morning. And the very next morning, with daybreak, the Anan would lift up and start moving Vinasu, and the people would follow suit. Other times it was more than that. It was 2 days, it was a month. It was longer than a month.
And they would follow something that was visible.
Correct. The visible Anan, as it lifted and started moving, they would move in the footsteps of the Anan. Al pi Hashem Yachnu, al pi Hashem Yisu, es mishmeres Hashem Shomru, al pi Hashem Biyad Moshe.
A lot of repetition.
Correct. And the reason for this repetition, we're going to see in the Ramban, in his commentary on the Torah in just a few minutes, is because the Torah is describing the glory of the Jewish people. They walked with God despite tremendous challenges. And each one of these psukim is going to indicate a different challenge that they had to face when there were 3 million people, men, women, and children, on the move through the very harsh conditions of the wilderness. But first I want to mention to you something in the name of the Shalom HaKadosh, the Shnei Luchos HaBris. His name was Horowitz. He lived about 2.5-3 centuries ago. And he analyzes this parasha of Al Pi Hashem Yachnu, and he says, and he's quoted in an anthology called the Imrei Shammai, that Emuna, faith in God, is really rooted in this very section of Parshas Ba'aloscha. And you and I know that when we embark on a mission of any sort, even a short travel, you know, I'm going to Budapest. So the first thing I say is, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, I'm going to Budapest. What's the source for that? Im Yirtzeh Hashem, or V'ezer Hashem. It all comes from the Shalom HaKadosh. It's only a few centuries old. And the Shalom says that this is derived from our parsha here in Ba'aloscha. Ki al kol pu'ulo tu'ash adam osa, the third line, anything that a person does, yomar, he should say, im yirtz Hashem, b'yezer Hashem, he goes on the journey, hinini nosea b'yezer Hashem, meaning the anani akavod are going to accompany me in my journey, so to speak. Not literally, but figuratively. And he has in mind to go to a hotel and stay there for a while. And he says, im yirtz Hashem, God should allow me to find a place where I can stay. And on my way back, he should help me come back. And when he arrives at his destination, Yitain Shevach, he should give praise. And he should say, Hine, behold, V'ezer Hashem Basi Hine, with the help of God I came here. Every time a person is on a journey, he says B'ezer Hashem. Every time he completes his journey and reaches his destination, he will say B'ezer Hashem, I got to my destination. Nimtza, the bottom line is Shem Hashamayim Shogur Befiv. He's always got the name of God in his lips. He understands that God is leading him, guiding him, and protecting him. And he says a cute thing. He says, the Pasuk in David HaMelech says, Atzas Hashem Hi Takum. He says the He is Rashi Tevis. If you scramble the letters around a little bit, Im Yirtz Hashem. If you read He backwards, it's Rashi Tevis Im Yirtz Hashem. This is the Shalach HaKadosh. The source for our minig of constantly saying Im Yirtz Hashem comes from the Musar of the Shalach HaKadosh. The Shalach had a tremendous impact on generations of Klal Yisrael. The Ramban tells us, why is this parsha so profound in its impact on Emunah? Why is Emunah, the close relationship between the Jew and God, the very fabric of this parsha? Says the Ramban, the meaning and the significance of Baharich HaAnan, the Torah describes in great detail that sometimes the Anani HaKoven were lingering for a long extended period of time over the Mishkan. Lomai, to teach us that if the Anan was lingering for many, many days, and yet that place within the Midbar, you know, we're in Midbar Sinai with very harsh conditions, Einenu Tov Beinei, this is really not the place, you know, if you were scouting out the Midbar, this is not a good place to remain for a long period of time. The conditions here are very difficult, whether it's the winds and the dust storms, whether it's the lack of water, whatever it might be. You know, anytime you go out, you know, for example, you know, you've all heard of the famous, in South Africa, the famous Kruger Park, right? So if you go out, I never did it, but if you go out on a safari in Kruger Park, you got to take a guide with you. The guides would have told the Jewish people, this is not a good idea. This is not where you want to be. They desired to get out of that place. But afal piche, nevertheless, this was the great test of Amunah, and they passed it with flying colors. Yavral Ratzon Hashem. That's why the Torah repeats time after time. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael's mishmeres Hashem. They didn't want to violate God's will, even though they didn't understand that will. And therefore, miyiras Hashem, from a sense of fear of God, of reverence for God, they fulfilled his mitzvah v'lo yiso, and they remained in that place. And then you have the opposite situation. Supposing the Anan was there for a very limited time, 2 days, 3 days, and the people were very yogeim, you know, they were very exhausted. And why were they exhausted? Because they had just completed a journey over a long stretch of land with men, women, and children. V'ino b'derech kocham, and it was inui. Inui means affliction to their powers, their physical powers. But nevertheless, Hashem says, we got to pack out. We got to move on. You're exhausted, but we got to go in any event. It's like, I don't know if any of you were here when we showed the movie, the video here of the Long Way Home. I don't know, none of you were here? It's about the 3 years between the end of the war, 1945. You've seen it. Oh, it's very powerful. It's from the Simon Wiesenthal Center. And you see also that the Jews were traveling to Palestine, and very often they woke up men, women, and children in the middle of the night. We got to get out of here, because there was a fear that they were being spotted by the Brits or the whatever it was. And the Torah says, yesh, there are sometimes Sometimes the Anan would settle at night and move out on the very next morning. Imagine they had just encamped in a place and hours later they have to go. Ulefarmin says the Ramban, Yamadon and Yom Vilayla ki holchu kol alayla. They walked and they journeyed during the entire night. They arrived at daybreak. And then on the second morning, just 24 hours later, that's even more difficult. They were under the impression that they would be there for a while. Parku agolos, they unpacked their bags. Everybody hates packing and unpacking, So that's what the Ramban says, that this was a great challenge, and this is where they rose to the occasion, and the glory of Klal Yisrael is that they followed the Ratzon of Hashem. Here I'd like you to fast forward to the second side of your page and take a look at the Sichas Musar of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. And once again, when we get to the paragraph, the last paragraph in this presentation is Zohi. You can even make a note of it now. The Ramban is going to come full swing back to the parasha that we started with about the Anani HaKovod of Al Pi Hashem Yachnu Al Pi Hashem Yisa. But first, this Reb Chaim is an analysis of the greatness of Nachshon Ben Aminot. If you remember that when Klal Yisrael were at the Yamsuf, and they were really being challenged from all sides because the Mitzrayim were in hot pursuit. Behind them was the Yam Suf. And no one wanted to jump into the water. Zel Omer, Ein Ani Yorei Tchil. I'm not going to be the first one to go in. Vizelni Eino, this one didn't. Kofatz Nachshon, and the other. So the Gemara says in Sota that Nachshon was the first one to jump in to the Yam Suf. And therefore, the Gemara tells us, and it's in Chazal, in the Medrash, that he was Zoche to be the first of the Nesiim at the end of Parshas Noso, that we read a few days ago, to bring his karma. Why was he first? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares he was Makari Shmi Bayam, he's the one who's going to bring the karma first. Oh. Says Reb Chaim, I don't understand. Mesiras Nefesh is something that's so deeply embedded in the DNA of Klal Yisrael throughout history. Why was it only Nachshon Ben Aminod, one Jew who was willing to be Moser Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem? None of the Shvatim were willing to go down into the Yam first? Hare Doros be Yisrael Masru Nafshav al Kiddush Hashem? Ubeinayim, and amongst them, Anoshim Pshutim. Talk about periods of darkness and pogroms in Jewish history. Talk about the Spanish Inquisition. I mean, who were the ones who were willing to die rather than accept Christianity? These were so-called Pshutim. Maybe they weren't such Pshutim, they weren't so simple. But they were the rank and file member of Klal Yisrael. And here's the Dor HaMidbar, which is called Dor Deah. You know, they just got the Torah. I mean, they hadn't got the Torah yet, I should say. But they saw the hand of Hashem. They saw the 10 plagues. They saw that through the miraculous redemption, they were able to go out. And yet, not one of them, except for Nachshon Ben Aminod, is willing to go down to the Yam. Okay, there may be many different answers to this question. Reb Chaim has, I think, a very unique approach. He says the following. Just a revolution. Changes our whole perspective. He says if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have commanded them to jump into the waters and die in the waters, then ki'ish echad, as one, they would each jump in without any hesitation even for a moment. We have many stories in Chazal, back in the Gemara in Gittin, and you have stories about girls during the Holocaust who jumped into the sea. Nobody would have hesitated. What's the problem? The challenge here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them to go into the water and travel and pass through the water b'charava, on dry land. In other words, this is a psychological state of being in which you go into the water not to die in the water, but rather to live in the water, to go in this raging water, and to feel like they're walking on dry land. That was the challenge. That was the command. So Rabosai, I think, if I had a blackboard, I would write this down, because this is something that we're going to see over and over again. The challenge is to go into a place which is very dangerous, and not feel the danger at all. To feel that I am being protected by Hashem, kiilu holchim b'derech kvusha. This was the Kiddush Hashem, the unique level and achievement of Nachshon Ben Avihu. He was the only one who was able to go down into the water as if it was a yabasha. To him, there was no difference between the water and the yabasha. In his mind, he relied totally on Hashem and his miracle, that he wanted to fulfill God's tzivui to go into the water as if there was no water there. That's what he had in his mind. That's not a simple thing to do. That's already a great level of Kiddush Hashem that's unique to Nachshon Ben Aminodav. Let's see how Reb Chaim builds on this. He says, when the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, "Zacharti lachem chesed nurayech avas klusayech lechtech achray b'midbar b'eretz lo zrua," it doesn't mean that the greatness of the Jewish people is that they went through the challenging desert, the wilderness, with the idea that they would die in the wilderness. That's not what it means. But rather to go into the wilderness as with men, women, and children, a midbar gadol nura. This is the language of the pasuk in Dvarim, Nachash Sarafi Akrov Tzimon Eilem Mayim, but not to feel that at all, but rather to feel as if they're walking through an urban center or through Ginos v'Pardesim. That's the Chesed Nurayach, the Avas Klusayach. As if all of nature doesn't exist in their eyes, the way it exists in empirically in the eyes of the spectator, but rather all they see in front of them is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wherever they go, they are following in the footsteps of God without paying any attention to the physical and natural circumstances and causes that surround them. And he gives a beautiful mashal. Imagine, he says, the case of a mother who's carrying her baby, and she's moving and he's moving because he's being carried by her. She takes him into places where there are wild animals and there are mortars, attackers, and guess what? The baby doesn't know any of that. He's not aware of that. If you ask the baby, if he could only speak, "Where are you?" he would say, I'm in the bosom of my mother." He says that that was the level of the Jewish people in the Midbar. At Yamsuf, it was Nachshon Ben Aminodav. But in the Midbar, with the Anani HaKavod, it was every member of Klal Yisrael felt that he was being carried on the shoulders of HaKadosh Baruch. And that, he says, is what the Gemara means in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara establishes that there's a malacha called Soser. One of the 39 categories of Malacha is to break something apart. And although that's a Malachas Makalkel, you're only Chayef if your intention was to build something else in that place. So the Gemara asks on that statement, we derive all the Malachas from Mishkan. And in the case of Mishkan, they were Soser al Menas Livnoso, but in a different place. They took apart the Mishkan. They had no intention of restructuring the Mishkan in that place. And you're requiring that it's got to be Soser al Menas Livnos Bimkomo. So the Gemara answers, in the name of Ula, Kevon Shenemar al Pi Hashem Yachnu v'al Pi Hashem Yisau. that they only traveled through the desert based on the will of God through the Anani HaKavod, is therefore it's like Sosa Avanas Livnos Bimakomo. What does that mean? They don't have any intention of rebuilding the Mishkan there in its Makom. Says Rav Chaim, where is the Makom of Klal Yisrael?
Midbar.
It's physically it's in the Midbar, but no, it's Al Pi Hashem. They are literally standing on the shoulders of Hashem. Like if you ask the child, where are you? He's not being surrounded by animals in some wilderness, in some jungle. He is on the shoulders of his mother. And therefore, wherever we go through the Midbar, we, as the people of Israel, are Al Pi Hashem. We never changed our position. Although we went from one Makom to the other, we were always on Hashem, or in the bosom of Hashem, Kitino Kandisa Bizroos Imo, like the child who's being held in the arms of his mother. Even when she goes from one place to the other, the child is always located in the same place. He's in the arms of his mother. We are always located in the same place. So if we're going to rebuild the Mishkan, it may be a different location from the perspective of the onlooker, but from the perspective of Bnei Yisrael, it was always in the same place, because they're always being carried by Hashem. That perspective is the lofty nature of walking with Hashem, of the people of Israel in the Midbar. To live with Hashem means to stand on Hashem's shoulders. We are being carried by Hashem. No matter what situation we face and all the challenges, we have such reliance on Hashem. We are guaranteed that He is carrying us. That's how we see our relationship to a place. We're not here in this place. We're rather being carried on the shoulders of Hashem. And as I said at the outset, although Bamidbar, and specifically Parshas Baaloscha, is full of the glory of Klal Yisrael and their successes, but it also records their failures. And that's going to be the Parsha of the Misonanim, which is here in Parshas Baaloscha. These are the complainers. Says the Ramban, what's so bad about complaining? And as a result, in the aftermath of this Misonanim, we have the Kivras HaTava, we have this Nurim HaFuchim, we have an entire change in Jewish history. Why? What was so tragic and catastrophic about the fate of the Misonanim? Says the Ramban, that when they moved away from Har Sinai, which was close to the, you know, it was in the south, so it was close to the urban centers, but then now they came north, into the Midbar Gadol Vanora, into the terrible, frightening wilderness, on the first journey, they were in a state of tsar. They were anguished. They were nervous. They were almost psychotic. They asked us, Manasseh, how are we going to live? Can we live in this wilderness? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? And their attitude was, we cannot sustain ourselves. We cannot tolerate all the inui, or the suffering. When are we going to get out of here? As the pasuk says in Echa, "Ma'yisonein adam chai gever al chatov." Misonein means a person who bereaves his situation. He grieves about the situation that he finds himself in. It's so disastrous. It's so dangerous. It's a ke'ev in which a person is mitztar al atzmo. And therefore, says the Ramban in the next paragraph, that in that state of ke'ev and tsar, they sinned as misonanim, as complainers. Hayumidabrim bimar nafsho. They spoke out of a sense of bitterness, a psychological psyche of bitterness, as people who never get depressed because they're in pain and they're suffering. And all this Hayarab Hayesh. Here's where we did not walk hand in hand with Hashem. Here's where we fail. Shahoyalem Lalethes Achrov. They should have walked after him with a capital H. Besimcha Ubituv Levav. They shouldn't have seen the desert as a dangerous place with all its, you know, everything lurking in the shadows and all the harsh conditions of the wilderness, but rather they should have seen it as if they were walking through a glorious place. Besimcha betuv lev, they should have been dancing through the Midbar. Meirov kol tov asher nasan lehem. Don't they realize that God is there, is protecting them? Vehem hayu ke'anusim, but rather their approach and their attitude was, we are being compelled and forced into this terrible situation. God brought us here, misonanim, and therefore they were complaining of misramim, and they argued against God al inyanim for that situation that they found themselves in. This is the challenge of the Midbar. And at different stages, there were different responses. For example, at the time of Yamsuf, whether to rely on Hashem as if we're being carried by God, that was only the greatness of Nachshon ben Aminadav. The rest of the Jewish people were not able to enter into the Yam and see it as if it was dry land. When it came to Al-Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al-Pi Hashem Yiso, following in the Anani HaKovet, as the Ramban says, they just landed there and they had to pack, they unpacked their bags, and the very next morning the Anan moved out. Here they were walking in the footsteps of God. But the Misonanim, that's where they failed to realize that God has bestowed upon all this goodness, He is protecting them. They're going through a beautiful, lush garden. No, we're going through the harsh conditions of the Midbar. Here they were not able to reach the level of walking with God. Rabbos, I want to share with you an interesting insight in the Siddur Otzer HaTfilos. The best book, in my opinion, if you want to study the Siddur and its Nuschos, is the Otzer HaTfilos. I have an old copy, I don't have the first. I have a copy from Vilna from 100 years ago, in great shape. And he talks about the response of the Tzibur to Hadva. What do we say when they lift up the Torah? Sosa Torah, Asher Son Moshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael, Al Pi Hashem. Now, that is a combination of two psukim. And he says it's very odd because when you say two psukim, then the second pasuk has to add something to the first. But he says, take a look. Sosa Torah, Asher Son Moshe Lifnei Yisrael. So you're already told him that it was Moshe who taught the Torah, transmitted the Torah. And then you jump to a pasuk in Parshas Baloscha, from Vaschanon back to Baloscha, rewind, Al Pi Hashem Biad Moshe.
And it's only half a pasuk.
And it's only half a pasuk, and you're repeating what you just said, that the Torah is being given Al Pi Hashem Biad Moshe. Says Reb Chaim Mivalozhin, the minhag is incorrect. That's not the pasuk, the second part that you should be quoting. Roy Lomar v'zos haTorah shaso Moshe lifnei bnei Yisrael, which is the pasuk in Vaschanon, and then al pi Hashem yachnu v'al pi Hashem yiso, not al pi Hashem, but al pi Hashem yachnu al pi Hashem yiso. Es mishmeres Hashem shamru al pi Hashem v'yad Moshe. Because what the second part of the pasuk is teaching us, and it's a full pasuk in Baloscha, is that why do we get the Torah? And why is this Torah al pi Moshe? It's because we were able to rise to the occasion, to that glorious moment in which we followed pi Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu told us, follow the Anoni Yaakovo. And that's exactly what we did, and we saw at the Ramban how great it was, how challenging it was, and yet we were able to rise up to this occasion. And now, Rabosai, I'd like to go back to page 1 and speak to you about another dimension of Parshas Baloscha, which also relates to the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. And there's a fascinating Medrash HaGadol here at the very beginning of Baloscha. You know, Rashi at the beginning of Baloscha, in his first commentary, asks, what is the mitzvah of menorah, of lighting the candelabra, have to do with the previous parasha, which is Naso, and of all dimensions of this, you know, of the Avodas HaMikdash, the one that the Torah singles out is the lighting of the menorah. And although Rashi gives his answer, in which he claims that Aaron and his Shevet were not part of the Chanukah HaNesiim, there were no korbanos brought by Shevet Kohuna, and therefore Chol Shaddai Tushal Aaron, he had a Chalishas Adas, why didn't we participate in the in the bringing Karbonis to the Nesiim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Menachem him, and he was Menachem him with the menorah. That's Rashi. The Medrash HaGadol sees an entirely different dimension in the opening parsha of Baalosa. The Torah says that we should light candles. But you know, we can read the Torah in one way and we can read it in a different way. We can read it and see it in its proper place and its proper time, as we say in Mikra Yotzei B'dei Peshuto. It's a straightforward mitzvah to light the candles in the Mikdash. There was a menorah in the Heichal, and Aaron HaKohen Ubonov had the daily obligation to light the menorah. But no, says the Medrash HaGadol, that's a limited perspective. We have to go and broaden our perspective. We have to see this in an abstract way, how it impacts on generations down the line. Meaning, even after Churban HaBayis, when there's no longer a possibility of lighting the menorah in the Heichal, in the Beis HaMikdash. And in order to explain how this Baaloschas HaNeros is a message for all generations, even post-Churban, we quote a pasuk in Tanakh. In Yeshayahu HaNovi it says, Biurim Kibdu Hashem. Take this pasuk at the beginning of Baaloschas and combine it with the pasuk, Biurim Kibdu Hashem, with lights you should glorify God. Melamed, says the Medrash. By the way, the Medrash HaGadol, if I'm not mistaken, is Medrash from Teiman, from the Yemenites, if I'm not mistaken. Melamed Shechayovim Yisrael Lahadlik, that this mitzvah Hadlokas HaNeros is not limited to the Beis HaMikdash, it's not limited to the Kohanim, it applies outside the Beis HaMikdash, and it breaks all the boundaries of time and space and people. It applies to everyone. Where? Bibote Knesios uBibote Midrashos. Now wait a second, I don't get it. This pasuk at the beginning of Baaloschas, commanding the Kohen to light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. What does this have to do with lighting candles in the synagogues and in the study houses? And what's the answer of Baaloschas? Shehem Kemikdash. Oops, I apologize for that. Turn, I'm in the middle of Shir, I'll call you right back, okay? Yeah, I'm finished in about 15 minutes. Is that possible? Okay, thank you so much. I apologize for both sides. I didn't even realize I had left this on. I always tell other people to shut it off, but you know, who says that I shut it off? Okay. And the next two words, Shehein Kemigdash, on both sides, we have the Beis HaMikdash today. I will give you a duplicate of the Migdash. Again, it's a microcosm. And ma Migdash lo haya haner kovebo. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the Medrash says that the light in the candelabra continuously was lit. Velo yichbe. So to kach hayoven yisrael ahadlik v'batik nesios v'batik midrashos. And Rabosai, what is the impact of our Migdash Ma'at? And in order to appreciate that, I think we have to see the Ramban, not here, but at the end of Sefer Vayikra, in Perek Chavav, the Ramban sees something amazing in the comment of Chazal on the Pasuk in Vayikra Chavav Pasuk Alflo Sasu Let Lachem Elilim, which is a mitzvah that enjoins us from worshipping idols. And in the very same pasuk, continuing, Eshav Sosai Tishmoru, we have to observe the Shabbos, Umikdashai Tiro, and we have to be afraid and in a state of reverence towards the Beis HaMikdash Ani Hashem. Chazal tell us that this pasuk gives strength or his orus or chizuk to an eved who is sold to a guy. Because in the very previous pasuk, it speaks about avodahem, the eved. And Chazal tell us that if an eved is sold to a guy, a Jewish eved, And now he comes under the influence of the Eved, of the, excuse me, of the master, the guy. The guy is Oved Avodah Zarah. Oved Avodah Zarah, he worships idols. So the Eved says, you know what? Eventually he says, I'm gonna worship together with him. The guy is Mechal Shabbos, he doesn't have a mitzvah of Shabbos, and eventually the Eved gets into the shmug of things. He says, I'm also gonna desecrate the Shabbos. So the Pasuk says, Hizir HaKosuf. The Torah therefore warned us about idol worship and about Shabbos. She'izor b'ayim ha'eved ha'nimkar l'goy. If the Eved wants to protect himself against the negative and devastating influences of this guy, then he's got to accept a total dedication to prevent himself, to avoid any Avodah Zarah, and to observe the Shabbos. Umora Migdash, Sheyavo Sham Birigolim, the Eved has to be careful to come on Aliyah L'Regel three times. V'yari Mimenu, and he should be afraid and reverence of the Migdash. For Hu Adin L'Chol Mitzvahs, and the truth is, he has to be careful about all the mitzvahs. So why does the Torah single out three mitzvahs that the Eved has to be careful about? Aval hizkir ele, the Torah singles out these three mitzvos, shehein avos, lilmod al kula. These three are the avos. These are the most basic fundamental mitzvahs. The Torah is saying to the Eved, be careful about these three, and then you won't be schlepped in, you won't be sucked in by the negative influence around. The question is obvious. Bishleim avodah zarah, that's one of the fundamentals. Shabbos is one of the fundamentals. The Gemara says a Jew who worships an idol is a kofer b'kala tarakula. And the Gemara equates Shabbos, in the case of Machal Shabbos b'farhesia, to an Oved Avodah Zarah, he's a muma. These are the avos. These represent the essence and the fabric of Jewish life. But what about the third, Mora Mikdash? To be afraid, to be in a state of awe vis-a-vis the Mikdash? And I thought that maybe the Sfarno would help us here, because the Sfarno says on the Pasuk, Migdash Aitiro, to be afraid of the Migdash, that's not limited to certain periods of Jewish history, but the mitzvah of Umigdash Aitiro, says the Sfarno, applies throughout Jewish history. And what does it relate to? Hamakomos, Hamakudashim. It's referring to any place that's sanctified, bagolus, meaning even after Churban. And what are those places? Hein bate knesios, u bate midrashos. And he quotes the Chazal in Megillah, that even though there was a Churban in the Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk, Vehehi lahem l'migdash ma'at n'yechezkel, elu bate knesios u bate midrashos, we still have the Beis HaMikdash, albeit in a different form. In the Batek Nesius and the Batek Midrashos. And we have to desire and long and gravitate to these places. And we have to have Mora for these places. And if we do so, then no less than Avodah Zarah and Shabbos, we have achieved one of the Avos of the Torah, the pillars of the Torah, that's going to have an impact on us. Because when we enter into these Mekomos, HaMekudosh and Bagolus, we are standing in the presence of Hashem. We are walking with God, and out of a sense of reverence of Yirat Hashem, Umigdash Tiro, we are elevated and protected spiritually against all the negative influences around us. And that's why Chazal say that when we enter into a synagogue, we have to feel a sense of gravitational pull to the Kedusha. When we leave a synagogue, we're not supposed to just run out of the synagogue. We go to a base medrash and we learn. This is the way a Jew can be connected to God throughout the period of Golos. And here I want to share with you an insight of Rav Brody in his Sefer Som Derech. And he writes that the Torah describes three sins. And it's a chain of sins. The first one is Vayisu Mihar Hashem. Chazal say, what does it mean by Yisu Mihar Hashem? When they left on the first Masa, they left the Harabayis. Har Sinai is Kitino Kaboreach mi Besa Sefer, like a child who runs away from school. And a second sin was Vayehi Aham Kibis Onenu. And the third sin, Hasafsus Asher Bikiro, is Avu Taiva Kibis Ataiva. And he asked the question, what was so terrible about the first sin that they were Tino Boreach mi Besa Sefer? And he says an unbelievable chiddush. He says that what does Har Sinai represent? After all, the pasuk tells us b'mshocha yovel hema yalu bahar, that as soon as the Torah was given, afterwards the har has no kedusha to it. So sach hakol, when Hashem said it's time to move out and move on, they were not leaving a place of kedusha. They were on their way to Eretz Yisrael. He says the following: Nira mikan, what we should derive from here, kama gadol v'nifla omek adin v'amishko b'maisei gdoli olam ki nidrash miklal Yisrael ava klapi makom shebo nitna Torah. They should have a love for a place where the Torah was given. Afal pisha ein bo kedusha, even though they no longer has sanctity, tzricha liot hapreda, the separation from such a place, lios kosh avuram mitochiba viavas l'torah. In a place where you receive Torah, you should have a longing for that place. It's like a person moves from his childhood home, and he has great memories from that home. So he gravitates. He wants to see the home, and he wants to be there. Why were they leaving Har Sinai with a simcha like a tinok who gets out of school, who runs when the bell rings? The answer is they didn't have that closeness, that ava, to a place where the Torah was given. And he says that what we should learn from this is that hadvarim amurim l'gabi kol beit knesset u'kol beis medrash, that a synagogue and a house of study we should have such a desire, a longing, a love for, because that's where we receive Torah, that's where we daven, we have tefillah, that's where we're close to the Shekhinah. It should have such chavivus in our eyes and such kavod and chashivus that therefore not only are we enjoined from being mevaza such a place, ela sheyeda ha'odom laharich lahakir tovel makom b'makom bo gidel the God al b'Torah, she yekoshrei lo b'chol neimei nafsho v'lo yishkach es hatova shekibel. He says he should have a natural propensity and a love, a longing to be connected to such a place. He says Har Sinai after Matan Torah has no kedusha, and nevertheless when they left it without chavivus, without being connected to the place, kesimcha b'simcha ketino, he says how much more so in a Beis HaKnesset, a Beis HaMedrash, in a yeshiva, where the Kedusha's Kviya V'Kayim Olol Mvod, it has a sanctity. It's not like Har Sinai, which is a temporary sanctity. Kol Shkein, Sheish Chiyuv His Kashrus, we have an obligation to be connected, Uvechavivus, and to cherish such a place, Laharich, to evaluate, Ulahokir, and to have esteem and love for the Makom Shebo, Lamad Torah, V'Hispalel. That's what we have to have a longing. That's the mitzvah of Mora Migdosh. If we swing back to the Ramban, that the Ramban says that the three pillars of Torah, number one, Avodah Zarah, Nisar Avodah Zarah, number two, Shabbos, and number three, Mora Migdosh, and we identify that based on the Sfarno with Mikdashi Tirah, Makomos, Amakadushim, Begolos, Ein Batik, Nesiyas, Batim, Midrashos, this is where we have to feel a gravitational pull, because that's where we can be close to the Shekhinah, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash. That's the makom where we're mispalel, that's the makom where we learn Torah, and that's what I think the Ramban means when he calls this mitzvah of Mora Mikdash one of the avos that's going to impact on us and prevent us, insulate us from all the negative influences that surround us. And if you're able to move page one over to the side and tilt it over, I want to share with you an insight of one of the Hasidic giants who was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer in his book Eretz HaTzvi. and he goes back to Baloschas Haneros, and he says that if you talk about how the Jewish people can connect to Hashem, and the first answer to that question was Emuna, the faith of Alpi Hashem Yachnu, like the Tinok, the child who sees himself resting in the shoulders and the arms of his mother. And number two, the second answer is having a gravitational pull to a Makom Kedusha. There's a third answer to this question. What is Baaloscha Es Haneros? Baaloscha Es Haneros represents the Kohen. Who is the Kohen? The Kohen is the Tzadik Hador. This is what Chassidus is all about, in its very fiber, very essence. Every generation is blessed with its Tzadik. And what is the power of the Tzaddik vis-a-vis all the souls of the Jewish people that live at that time in that place? Yesh lo koach lahalos. He can bring up all the neshamos. The neshama is a ner. The neshama is called ner Hashem nishmas Adam. Who's going to ignite the neshama, the ner? And the answer is the Kohen, who represents the Tzad, symbolically represents the Tzadik Ador. Yesh lo koach lahalos ha-mitzvah shall call Yisrael. This is already mystical Chassidus. That the mitzvos of the generation, you know, are a little bit deficient and they're not going all the way up to Shamayim to impact on and achieve their goals. And there's got to be some sort of catalyst, some sort of force in the universe, in the spiritual universe, that's going to elevate all the mitzvahs of that generation onto a higher level. And what is that power? What is that force? Who is that conduit, that agent? It is the tzaddik. The zu hois avodaso shel Aaron. What is the unique avoda and responsibility, the contribution of Aaron HaKohen? Hayamashpil atzmo ad lemekomos hashfeilim yod. He would go down to the people, even those who are on a low level, because like Bruria, he believed in every single Jew. Kidei lagbia hashfolim shebi Yisrael, to take even those low members of Klal Yisrael, harishoyim shebehem, and to elevate them, lachziram lemutav, to inspire them to do tshuva. That's the message inherent in Baloscha Es Haneros. And therefore we have a third dimension and a third answer to the question of how we can walk in the Midbar, in the footsteps of Hashem and with Hashem. We have the answer of the Anani HaKavod. We see Hashem's guiding hand, as the Shaloh HaKadosh says, at every moment we say, Yirtzeh Hashem, V'yezer Hashem. We attribute everything to God. We are in His arms. Number two, we have the answer of the Medrash HaGadol, that Baaloscha Es Haneros is a reference to our Batei Mikdashos, namely, our synagogues and our houses of study. We have to gravitate towards these places because that's where we'll find Hashem. And that was the message of Baaloscha Es Haneros. And finally, the third answer is the tzaddik. If we can connect to the tzaddik and be close to him, the tzaddik will reach out to us. He will inspire us and elevate our every deed. He will guide us so that we can walk in the footsteps of Hashem. Yiratzon may be His will, that we elevate ourselves to this level. We always look for opportunities, because we'll be faced by challenges of all sorts of influences, to come close to Kedusha, to a Makom Torah, to a Yeshiva, to a Beis Knesses, to a Beis HaMedrash, to follow in the footsteps and be influenced and inspired by the Tzaddikim, to reach levels of Emuna in which, like our ancestors in the Midbar, we feel and we sense that we're going into the Amsuf, but we're really going into Yabasha. That we're traveling through the Midbar, but we're going through a beautiful, lush garden, because Hashem is there to protect us. If we'll achieve these levels of Emuna Bitachon, then we guarantee that Hashem will look upon us favorably for the benefits of ourselves, our families, and all of Klal Yisrael. Kein Yiratzon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.